Want to extend Christian greetings to the brothers and sisters here at Wellspring. As I thought about coming here, I thought about the verses that Paul used in Colossians when he said, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints." And that's true for me. I pray for the brotherhood here at Wellspring in my daily prayers. Pray for my congregation or our congregation, and I pray for the congregation here because I feel somewhat a part of you, and I am encouraged by the growth and the spirituality that I see taking place in your congregation. And so the Lord bless you as you continue walking with him, as you continue growing in him, and as you continue to serve him in ways that are acceptable to him. A little unsure what to preach about this morning, but the Spirit led me to speak about him, the Spirit. I want to talk about the power of the Spirit this morning. As I have grown older, I've become more and more aware of the Spirit's direction in my life, not just when I'm up preaching, or not when I'm teaching, or not when I'm witnessing, but in my everyday life, in all that I do, in my work, and even in my vacation, whatever the occasion is, I have more and more sensed his leading and direction in my life. And I think that's what God wants for all of us, that the Spirit would be alive and well and working in our lives to use us as instruments of his to build his kingdom. I want to talk a little bit about power this morning. Power is, I looked up the definition of power, and there's a lot of definitions of power. One of the definitions is the propulsion to move something. The engine in your car moves it down the road. And if you look up the largest engine made, this engine is called a Wärtsilä Sulzer RTA-96C. This humongous system is meant to power large seafaring vessels, including container ships. This engine is 89 feet long, 44 feet tall, weighs 2,300 tons, and is an incredible 25,480 liters. It would be the equivalent of about 16,000 small four-cylinder engines. The unit runs on 39 barrels of heavy fuel each hour, and it costs at least $20 for each minute of operation. The system is configurable with 6 to 14 cylinders, can deliver an incredible 107,389 horsepower and 7 million newton meters of torque. In a container ship, it can propel a ship with 11,000 20-foot containers at 31 knots versus other ships with the same load that go at 20 knots, meaning a ship can come from China to the U.S. in 4 days quicker than other ships can because of this massive engine. Now, when you think of aircraft, probably a lot of you have heard of the Antonov AN-225, which, by the way, was destroyed in the Ukraine war. But this airplane has a capacity of 560,000 pounds. It is 275 feet long. It has a wingspan of 290 feet, and it has a height of 59 feet 5 inches. Its empty weight is 628,000 pounds. And its takeoff weight is 1,410,958 pounds. It has a fuel capacity of 660,000 pounds, and it has a cargo hold 142 feet long, 21 feet wide, and 14 feet tall. It is propelled by six turbo engines, and each one of these have 51,600 foot-pounds of torque. It has a maximum speed of 530 miles an hour and a cruise speed of 500. I've often said that a plane like this should be the eighth wonder of the world. How something like that can get up in the air and defy gravity has always amazed me. that something that huge could get up in the air and fly from one place to another without dropping like a rock, and yet they do. So, you know, we like to talk about power. We like when we buy a car or a truck or something, you know, that we're going to use, we want that thing to have power. You know, when I'm in my pickup and I go to pass somebody, I like to step on it and get around them and get going. And so we enjoy power. I'm sure that Felix wouldn't buy a big excavator with a little bitty four-cylinder engine in it. You know, it wouldn't do the work. He wants something that has enough power that when he reaches out there to dig, it will dig. And so, you know, and when we take a drill and we go try to drill into something, we like for that drill to have enough power. Sometimes the battery runs out and then we have to get another battery, but we like to have power. Farmers, when they have, you know, tractors, they like to, whatever they hook up to, they like to, for that thing to pull whatever they're hooked to. And so we enjoy power. We enjoy the effects of power. And the power that I've talked about thus far has cause and effect. You have an engine that has X amount of cylinders with X amount of stroke, uses X amount of fuel, and you get X amount of horsepower. That's the way it is. It's hooked to a transmission or something else to transfer that power to whatever it's going to. And of course, obviously, the bigger the engine, the more it will like to produce. However, I will say as a mechanic that today they can get as much horsepower out of a four-cylinder V6 as we used to be able to get out of a large V8, which is amazing. But generally speaking, you know, the case of the ship, that huge engine has a lot of horsepower, and it produces a lot of power. So you may be asking, what does this have to do with the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit, as we know, is the third person of the Trinity. He exercises the power of the Father and the Son in creation and redemption. Because the Holy Spirit is the power by which believers come to Christ and see with new eyes of faith, He is closer to us than we are to ourselves. Like the eyes of the body through which we see physical things, He is seldom in focus to be seen directly because He is the one through whom all else is seen in a new light. Let me read that again. Like the eyes of the body through which we see physical things, He is seldom in focus to be seen directly because He is the one through whom all else is seen in a new light. And so when we become Christians, we see things in a new light. Brother Paul was talking about last night about that Amish lady who had an anger problem and seemed like nothing could help. But when she became a Christian, she got filled with the Holy Spirit. Things changed in her life. And so she saw things in a whole new light that she didn't see before. And so this explains why the relationship of the Father and Son are more prominent in the Gospels, because it is through the eyes of the Holy Spirit that the Father-Son relationship is viewed. The Holy Spirit appeared in Acts as the power by which Christians are brought to faith and helped to understand their walk with God. And you know, that would have been quite an experience to go through the day of Pentecost, when the cloven tongues of fire came down and set on people's heads and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, just like the fire that was in the burning bush for Moses did not consume that bush, the fire that set on the people's heads didn't burn their hair, but it was a symbol and it was a sign of the Holy Spirit's coming and filling their lives. The Holy Spirit is the most powerful, yet most untapped source of power known to mankind. And unlike mechanical engines, which the bigger the engine, the more power it produces, the Holy Spirit can well be more powerful in a 20-year-old than in an 80-year-old. It all depends on how well the person is grounded in their commitment to Christ. And so, if we as God's children want to be Spirit-led, we need to be Spirit-fed. And even though we don't have a cause and effect as we do with a mechanical engine, there is still cause and effect in that we have to daily immerse ourselves in the Word of God and in time with Him in prayer if we are going to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is something we cannot buy. We can't inherit it. We can't demand it. It comes through a very personal relationship with Christ. I'll tell you this morning, there is nothing that can ever compare to the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life, guiding you, giving you the words of God that God wants you to have. The blessings and the confirmation that comes from this relationship fills you as nothing else can. Unlike all other kinds of power, we do not harness God's spiritual power. We yield to it in faith. And that's what we need to do. The New Testament speaks of Christians being both indwelled and filled by the Holy Spirit. There is a difference between the two. This building, inside these walls, in the ceiling, all around us, there's wires run. And those wires run these lights, and they run fans, and they run the heating and air conditioning. And so this building is indwelled with electrical wiring that makes all these things happen. But until the switches are flipped, nothing happens. If you were to go out and take the meter from the meter base outside that feeds this building, these wires would be nothing, absolutely nothing. Until that meter base is plugged in and the power flows into this building where it can turn on lights and it can turn on fans and it can turn on heating and air conditioning, this building is not filled. It's indwelled, but it's not filled. And that's the way we are as Christians. Unless we have a life in Christ Jesus, unless we are committed to Him in our daily walk with Him, we will not be filled with the Spirit. We are indwelled when we become Christians. When we give our hearts to God, the Spirit indwells us. But as we grow in Him, He fills us and uses us and directs our lives. John 14:17 says, "The Spirit of truth, which whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and we will be in you." He dwells with you and will be in you. Notice two different statements. He dwells in you and will be in you. And so it is as we allow Him through our relationship with Christ, as we allow Him, He directs and guides our lives for His glory. And so the individual is filled by the Spirit when he yields his life to the Spirit's direction and power. If you wish to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you must yield your body, soul, and spirit to Him so that He can work in you and through you. Acts 4:31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and He spoke the words of God with boldness." Now, again, this would have been quite an experience to go through, to be in a place praying, and you feel the place shaking. And they didn't have a bulldozer outside or someone, you know, making that happen. It was the power of the Spirit that made it happen. And some skeptic may say, well, oh, it was probably just an earthquake. Well, maybe it was. But that's even more amazing because the Holy Spirit made it happen. And so, but it was a sign of the power of God working in the lives of the Christians, the early Christians, and in shaking this building, letting them know that the Spirit was there and He was at work in their lives. So ask us this morning, how attentive are we to the Spirit's direction in our lives? How much do we allow Him to direct our lives, or how much do we listen to Him when He directs, when He wants to direct our lives? I was trying to find Chad. There he is. Brother Earl Slaybaugh in Arkansas was a very good friend of mine. Chad knows him well. Earl told me that Earl has passed on now, but I learned a lot from him. But he told me that he went to visit, him and his wife went to visit this lady in the hospital one day, and she was in a bed with a canopy over because of a breathing issue, but the canopy had like a hole where Earl could reach in and hold her hand to pray for her, so he did that, when he got done, she said, "Brother Earl, when I pass away, I want you to conduct my funeral." He said, I would be honored to do that." So it wasn't many days that she passed away, and they were having summer Bible school, and they were having an adult class in the church, and they were sitting there on folding chairs, and Earl said he was sitting there, and the teacher was teaching, and all of a sudden the Spirit said, "Go to this lady's house." And he said it was so real. He said, "I jumped up, my folding chair went flying and made a lot of noise." And he said, "I ran out the door, got in my car, and I drove over to this lady's house." And he's like, "You know, what am I going to do now?" He said, "This little child came out and took me by the hand and took me in the house." And he said, "As I walked in, there was these two ladies sitting there talking. And one of them says, 'Who are we going to get to conduct Mama's funeral?' And the other lady looked up and says, 'That man right there.'" And so, you know, the timing was perfect. But if Earl had not listened to the Spirit's direction when he said to go, you know, he would have been late, and maybe it wouldn't have worked out that way. And so the Spirit wants to guide our lives. He wants to direct our lives. He wants to use us for the kingdom of God. There's another illustration of a pastor in Alabama, and he was preaching a revival one night at church, it was on the radio, and he preached just a simple sermon on salvation, he said, "On Monday afternoon, I was calling on some families on the other side of the city. Suddenly, the thought crossed my mind, go to the church. I was to meet the guest singer there at 4 o'clock, so brushing it aside, I continued my planned visit. But the thought continued, go to the church. Finally, the thought became so persistent, with seemingly no purpose in doing so, he said, I returned to the church building. The church secretary that had the afternoon off, so I was there alone. In a few minutes, I heard someone at the office door. Turning, I saw a young woman. She asked if I was the pastor. When I told her I was, she said, 'Will you tell me how to be saved?' We sat on the front pew of the auditorium, and she unfolded her story. She lived in a boarding house with her husband. For some time, she had been having an adulterous affair with her husband's best friend. After dinner on the previous evening, all the boarders were visiting in the large living room. The radio was on. Hearing a few words of my sermon, she sat down before the radio on a small stool, turned the volume down low, and listened to the service. At the close of the sermon, she was under conviction by the Holy Spirit. She decided to seek out to find how to be saved. In simple language, I told her how to receive Christ as her Savior. That night, in a revival service, she made a public confession of her faith in Christ, and later I baptized her. She became a faithful Christian and an active church member. Just suppose she had not been listening to the radio, or just suppose that my sermon had not been on the plan of salvation, or suppose she had brushed it off, suppose I had not gone to the church, or that she had come and found no one there. But supposing it's out of the picture, the Holy Spirit guided the events. He led us together for her salvation and God's glory." Now, these two stories talk about how the Holy Spirit led these men to different events. And we may think, well, we'll never get to that situation. But, you know, there's just small things that we can do as we are led of the Spirit. One day, my wife and I were at a nearby town, and we were at Arby's, and there was a couple ahead of us with a couple children, and it was obvious that they were pretty poor. I mean, it was obvious that they had coupons out. They were trying to, you know, get as much food as they could with the money that they had with the coupons. And they ordered their food, and we ordered ours, and we went and sat down, and we were talking about this, and we both kind of felt led to just give them some money. So they were sitting out in the car, so I went out, knocked on the window, and the guy opened up the door, and I gave him some money. And I said, the Lord just led me to give you this. And he's like, well, I didn't drop it. I said, no, I said, I'm giving you this, you know, and I just, you know, feel like I should give it to you. So you could tell he was just, you know, he just took him off guard. And I went on in and we were eating and they left. And it was just a few minutes and I saw their car pull back in. And their one tail light, it had tape over it where the tail light had broken. And so the car was not much at all. And anyway, the man and his wife walked inside. They came to the table. And they had tears in their eyes. And they said, you know, you giving us that money was just wonderful. You know, and so it gave us opportunity to pray with them. And we prayed with them. And we never heard from them since. But, you know, God only knows what that could do to, you know, for them. But it was a small thing, a very small thing. And yet, you know, it's something that I feel like that that God could use for his honor and glory. And so, you know, as God's children, he equips us with the things that we need here on the earth. And it's by the power of the Spirit that we live the Christian life. But the Holy Spirit, along with guiding us, there's also another aspect of the Spirit, and that is that he is a comforter. It's by the comfort of the Spirit that we deal with the hardships that life throws at us. John 14:16-18 says that I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And so the Spirit is a comforter to the Christian. The Greek word is paraclete, which suggests advisor, encourager, exhorter, comforter, and intercessor. The idea that the Spirit will always stand alongside the people of God. This Greek word is so filled with meaning that it is difficult to translate it into one English word. The Holy Spirit is one called to our side by Jesus to help us, to stand by us, to strengthen us, to give assistance when needed. The Holy Spirit is the other helper, John 14. Just as Jesus was a great helper while on earth, the Holy Spirit is now our helper if we desire his help. 2 Peter 1:2-4 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Savior, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us all the equipment that we need, the tools that we need to live the Christian life. And the Holy Spirit is there to direct us, to comfort us, to guide us. There's one other area that the Holy Spirit is there for us. Gardner Taylor is one of America's great preachers. Many years ago, I heard him say that words are vehicles by which to transfer ideas from one mind to another. However, some ideas are so heavy that the words break down in the effort. What a blessed assurance it is to know that when the words break down in our effort to transmit them, the deepest longings of our heart, we have a divine helper through whom these yearnings find their way to the mind of the Heavenly Father. A verse in Romans 8:26-27, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knoweth what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He goes on to say, Romans 8:26-27, the Holy Spirit takes our inarticulate groanings and verbalizes them to the Father. Through the Holy Spirit of God who dwells in you, a groan in your soul can be the most eloquent prayer that you have ever prayed. And so the Spirit is there to take our groanings to the Father. When we are in a situation where we are so filled with grief that we can't articulate the words that we want to pray, the Spirit is there to convey our thoughts and our groanings to the Father. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2-6 says, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word with much affliction, with joy in the Holy Spirit." And so, the Spirit has many different facets in our lives. And as we grow in our commitment to Christ Jesus, as we grow in our daily walk with Him, as we serve Him, allow Him to direct our lives, the Spirit will direct us in a way that brings us closer to God, and we sense His power and His presence in our lives. And you know, as we go through life, there's a lot of things that happen in our lives. But this morning, I want to challenge us, each one of us, to beware of the Spirit's leading in our lives. Nothing that happens in our lives just happens by chance. Nothing. God has everything happen for a reason. And there are many times, if you are looking and aware, that the Holy Spirit has things take place in our lives for a purpose and a reason. Don't miss out on these things in your lives. God has a reason for everything. And as we allow those things to mold us, to shape us, to direct us, as we allow Him to shape us through these things, it draws us closer to Him and it brings us into a more intimate relationship with Him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you and praise you for who you are. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us. We thank you for Christ Jesus, who came to earth and died on that cruel cross for our sins, so that we might serve you, that we might have a personal relationship with you. And Father, this morning we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for his indwelling. We thank you for his filling. We thank you for his comforting. And we thank you that he brings our groanings to you when we don't know how to utter the words. Father, this morning I pray that you would help us each one to be faithful to your direction, your leading in our lives, and we would be faithful to your Spirit's guidance in our lives, and may we grow in our commitment to you and in our service to you, and I pray that you would be honored and glorified through all that we do and all that we say. In Christ's name we pray.